God bless you. It is another day, and the old folks used to say back in Mississippi, another day and another dollar. But I'm going to say it's another day and another opportunity to get it right and do what God would have us to do. It is a wonderful opportunity that we have, and I thank you, Brother Melvin, for having me on your show to share with whoever will hear what whatever the Lord would say. So on behalf of the Livingstone Cathedral of Worship, my pastor, Pastor Rivers, and myself, and the people of God, Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be here, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak as you would have me to speak, and I ask your wisdom and your anointing upon this message today as we speak on behalf of the kingdom of yours that only you can provide. Thank you for it. Bless us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I want to share a message that we want to start off not even being in the Bible, because I want to show the relationship between God and man and how he does not need our help. So the thought that I'd like to present and that I will present is the proper view of God and man. The proper view of God and man. I'd like to look at, first of all, the nature and the character of God. And then I'd like to take you to the nature and character of man. And then I'd like to share with you God's commitment to man. So as we look into what we call now the millennium, everybody's pushing for, and I want to say this, and I hope that you will take this in such a way that it will be a blessing rather than me trying to put on to anybody. And that is, now many of our churches are pushing to try to get young people of the millennium. So they, we cut our services short. We do all kind of things to make sure that we look like millennium, that we look like in a way to attract. And that's not all bad, but when we reach a point to where we are absolutely sensitive to the fact that God has not changed, and God has never looked at anybody any kind of way other than we are his creation. Now, the first thing I'd like to make mention of is that God does not need me to validate his existence. Now, the world has reached a point to where every time you open your mouth, they want to know if you can prove that God lived. And so the system for which we live validates one thing. Now, I'm not going to even, I say to you today, you can name God whatever you want to name him. And he ain't scared of you. He ain't scared of me. He ain't scared of nobody. So you can call him whatever name you want, but when you get through, he still has not changed. So when we look at the nature and the character of God, we find some of these kind of things. First of all, there is no place in this system that we live that God is not there. In fact, I think it was David who made a statement. He said, if I go to the depths of the ocean, his right hand is there. And he said, if I had wings and I could fly to yonder's mountains and land on the tallest mountain, he's there. You cannot. So God does not need Henry Hearns, or any of you that I'm talking to prove that he is who he is. He just is all by himself. And so it's good to be sensitive to who it is that we're ministering to, but we've got to recognize the fact that God can prove himself. So there is no place that God is not. He is self-existent. Self-existent. And being a retired engineer myself, one of the things that engineers have been working on for eons of time is perpetual motion. We've not been able to reach anything that approaches perpetual motion where things will just go on their own. So he's self-existent. He is beyond our understanding. And all of this has nothing to do with the Bible. I'm just talking about stuff you can see and put your hands on. All the stuff that we see, everything that we see, everything that we encounter, none of it is going to be around forever. It's rotting away. I was driving through on my way to, I think, Ridgecrest, California, up to my daughter and her husband's church, and we went through what is called Red Rock Canyon. And as I looked at those beautiful areas up there and looking at the mountain, you could see where the mountains, the rock that make that place beautiful as it is eroding away. None of us won't be here when they are totally eroded away, but the bottom line is they are leaving. And when I rode through and thought about the at some million years, I don't know how many millions of years ago, but the water covered that particular area. Otherwise, we would not have mountains. So all of these things proved themselves, and nobody had anything to do with it except God. And that is whoever you want to call him, whatever name you want to give him. The universe is too big. All of the galaxies, and all of that, makes itself known, and nobody has anything to do with it. So, brothers and sisters, I bid you to take a look and don't allow yourself to be insensitive to the fact that God is God all by himself, and the Bible didn't make him God. God made the Bible. Woo! My goodness gracious life. I'm getting excited about this. And then when we look at the solar system, we are now discovered that we can take the sun and turn it into electricity and use it in our houses and in the businesses that we're doing. But God made that. So, and when we look at not only that, I think on our planet Earth is about 7.28 billion people living on planet Earth. And people are going every day. People are getting killed. Children are getting killed. People are shooting them. But people are continuing to be born into the earth to replenish the earth. And nothing either one of us can do about proving that God is or that he ain't. So I want to encourage you that the character of God is beyond our understanding. One of my favorite philosophers, Rene Descartes, who made a statement on one occasion, he trying to figure out whether he's in the system or not, and he began to look at the system, and when he did, he says, how can I prove my existence by my existence? And he began to wonder, how can he be sure that he's not a figment of some kind of an imagination. So finally he just decided, I think, therefore I am. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the character of God is beyond our understanding. What about the nature and the character of man? Well, First of all, let's go back and look at man, look at God. God never had, now this is crazy, man. I messed with this on a ship going overseas way back in 1953 and finally got my answer. But this thing is just too big to try to understand. So man had to come from somewhere else. Well, somebody said he came from the monkey. Well, all right, if he came from the monkey, how did we get separated and we are men and still monkeys? That's my question. But on the other hand, if you want to look at it and say that we came from the monkey, then where'd the monkey come from? But we cannot find out where God came from. So we are, the character of man is selfish. And I'm not talking about you, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about us, which includes me. If I don't pray every day, I'll find myself being selfish and looking out for myself only. Because I want to be the biggest thing going. I want to be the one that everybody look at. We just want to keep on. That's just our nature. But then, we don't know where we came from. We have to blame it on something. And I've concluded that I came from the creation of God. And I ain't backing off of that for nobody. My knowledge is limited. So when we talk about perpetuality, perpetual motion and all that kind of stuff, I don't have any way to make it work. We can send up a spaceship, and the other day, there's a spaceship that's been flying around up there for several years, and it ran out of steam because it does not have perpetual motion, and it fell over, I think, in Africa somewhere. So all of these things, so when we look at the man, he's selfish, his knowledge is limited, he don't have very any power. The only power that we have is the power that God has given us. So I'm totally satisfied in my mind that God is the only way that I have any power. Now, let's look at God's commitment to us. And I'm going to take you real quick to the book of Isaiah. Will you come with me to the book of Isaiah? Now, remember I already told you that the Bible itself did not make God God. God made the Bible by having someone to write his thoughts on paper. I don't know if I even use the word his thoughts. Write his being. I don't know. I'm going to let you guys argue with that. But I've concluded. I'm definitely satisfied that I belong to God and I came from God and I'm on my way back to God. And ain't going to let nobody disturb that. But let's see what his commitment is to his mankind. Isaiah 40, starting at verse 8. It says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God shall stand forever. Flowers go away, grass goes away, all of the rocks gonna fade, but the word of God will never pass. Verse 9, O Zion, that bringeth great tidings, get thee up into the high mountains, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Now watch this one, verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arms shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Now look what he promised. Oh, shucks, this is a messy mind up right here. Verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lamb with his arm and carry and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead them that are with young. Oh my goodness. God is just good, and he made a promise to us. And John chapter 10 and verse 10, as we move along and head toward a closure of this, but let me talk about Isaiah. Isaiah has, I think, some 66 chapters in his book, and 29 of those chapters are dedicated to the Old Testament. 39, I believe it is, or 36, are dedicated to the New Testament. But one of the things that I want to point out here is that everything that Isaiah wrote is in total compliance with the Word of God. Now, if I quoted the numbers wrong, don't worry about that. You just know that this is 66 books in the book of Isaiah. But when he wrote this one about the Lord carrying us in his bosom, and I read this in preparation for this message for you today, I wept with great joy because I was almost out of breath looking for God years ago, almost ready to draw a conclusion that there was no such a thing as God. But a little white boy named Bob on the boat took me to the scriptures in the New Testament and gave me how much God had committed himself to us in John 3:16, Hebrews 11:6, Romans 10:9-10. Just scripture after scripture, he let me know that God loves us. I accepted that on the boat. But then I went on to Japan and then on into Korea in 1953. And finally my tour overseas was over and I was ready to come home. And when I got ready to come home, I had then become a sergeant. And I got named to fly back home on the airplane, and I was so excited. Oh my God, I was excited to no end to get a chance to fly back, because then in a day or so I'd be at home. But then a white sergeant with more stripes than me took my place, and the captain called, "Sergeant Hearns, fall out." And I fell out, and he said, "We had you scheduled to go on the airplane, but here's a sergeant with more stripes than you, and he wants to fly, so we have to obey rank." Oh, I cursed. I raised all kind of cane. I was upset about this. I was upset about the other. And I claimed prejudice, and long story made short, later on that evening, we got the word back that that plane fell out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And then I knew for sure God had protected me. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we close this message, God is himself without us. And we are ourselves with him. And we cannot be ourselves without him. And then he made a promise to us, and he sent Jesus on our behalf. And I just want to say in our closing right now that God is God all by himself. And I'm so glad to tell you this today, to trust him, believe him. And if you don't, then you're going to be on your own, but I'm going to trust him. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here today. We ask you to bless the word and bless the hearers of his word. Cause them to look, if they haven't looked, and begin to recognize the fact that you don't need us to validate you, but we need you to validate us. And we thank you that you did by sending Jesus on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today. We're going to say to you right now that we hope that you will come by the Living Stone Church. We're located at 37721 North 100 Street East in Little Rock, California. And our services start at 10 o'clock every Sunday, and our Bible study is every Wednesday night at 7, and Pastor leads us in a prayer service at 6 o'clock every Wednesday as well. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Be blessed.